for sharing that with us. We're going to be in Mark this morning, the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Children, at this time, you are dismissed to go to Children's Church. So y'all can head that way. And I'm thankful this morning for that old gospel ship, the gospel that carries us throughout this Christian life, that eventually, because of Jesus Christ, will take us home to glory. So thank you for sharing that this morning. And we'll be looking at the Christian life as our journey this morning as we look at the call of discipleship. We'll be in Mark chapter 1, and we're starting in verse 16. We're looking at verses 16 through 20. We're going to see Jesus as the great teacher, as the teacher with authority, and as the one who calls us to be fishers of people. Starting in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. This is Jesus beginning his Galilean ministry. Verse 16 there in Mark chapter 1, it says, "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they followed him." The main point I want us to see this morning in this text is this, that the call to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. The call to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask right now as we look into your word that you would open our ears and open our hearts to receive what you've already spoken, a story that we have heard possibly many times before, but God, remind us what it means to be fishers of people, to not just be doers, not just be hearers of the word, but just be doers as well, Father, to be in action, that we would live out of faith that goes and tells people of the great news that we know as followers of Jesus, the saving gospel. It's in his name I pray. Amen. So, by only reading Mark's gospel, if you didn't read any of the other gospels, you might be a little confused. And growing up, I just kind of accepted this passage as these guys saw a random dude on the shoreline, and he said to them, "Hey guys, the fish are over there, but come follow me, we're going to fish for people." And I just accepted it as, okay, they don't know who this guy is, but it's just blind obedience. But if we read the other gospels, we see, in fact, that Jesus did spend time with these disciples. They heard about him when he was with John the Baptist. And we also see in Luke's gospel an even more detailed account of this event. That's the detailed account where Peter says to Jesus, when Jesus tells them to go out to the deep to find the fish, and Peter says to him, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." So we see an even more detailed account there. But here in Mark, if you just read this, it looks like Jesus goes from being tempted in the wilderness to then he goes to Galilee and starts preaching and goes up to these guys like they don't know who he is, but they do. But nonetheless, I believe their obedience is very admirable, and it's the first thing we should notice. But this fishers of people, it comes from the Old Testament. It appears once in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 16. In Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16, God says he is sending hunters and fishers to the people of Israel. Now, what this means during this time is the coming judgment of Israel. It's talking about judgment. They're going to be taken into captivity, but yet he's also going to restore them in the end. And so this metaphor, fishers of people, was likely familiar to them, but we should notice their obedience. They immediately jumped out of the boat and followed Jesus. They left their father, left their families behind, because they weren't just fishers because of it was a hobby. This was their job. This was how they were putting food on the table. And yet they left their jobs to follow Jesus. And that's what we do as followers of Jesus. When he first calls us, when he first saves us, we drop everything that we have. We dropped everything that we think is important in this world, and we follow Jesus. we leave everything else behind. One song that we used to sing growing up, and we'll sing it here eventually for invitation, as I have decided to follow Jesus. And one verse says, the world behind me, the cross before me. We leave the world behind when we follow Jesus. But these men knew that when they were following Jesus, that it was a call to discipleship, because the call to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. And so what did discipleship look like in the first century? Well, it looked kind of like this. Many of you who went to college, or maybe you studied a trade under somebody, you may have spent time with this person that was teaching you either this trade, or if you were in college taking classes, there may have been a professor that people not only listened to in the classroom setting, but they like ate lunch with this professor. We did that with my Baptist Heritage teacher. His name is John Killian. He was actually a president of the Alabama Baptist State Convention. And he would not only teach us in the classroom setting, but we would go eat with him for lunch, many times at Full Moon Barbecue. That was his favorite place. And a lot of times we would spend time at his house. He came to some of our ordination councils. And guess what? We did life with this man, because he taught us in the classroom, but he taught us outside. He showed us what it meant to be a Baptist, but also what it meant to be a Christian. And that's kind of what this looked like in the first century. It was very rare for a rabbi, by the way, to go up to people and invite these people to follow him. Prophets in the Old Testament would preach about God, but they would say, look to God. They would never say, follow me. But here Jesus is with his authority, being the Son of God, fully man, saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. So in the first century, when someone followed a rabbi, it looked like this. First of all, the disciples of a rabbi had a desire to learn. They were passionate about the scriptures. They were passionate about the writings of the law of the Old Testament. And guess what? They were willing to give up their own ideas and embrace the teachings of the rabbi. Not only do they have a desire, but they submitted to the authority of the rabbi. These disciples, on this journey they go with Jesus these couple of years, they submit to his authority, to what he teaches them. It's not what they want to do, but what he wants them to do. Just as when we come to the Word of God, we don't try to make the Word of God say what we want it to say, but rather look at it in its proper context, and we say, God, help me be able to obey this. That's my prayer this morning as we're talking about discipleship, is that we would say, God, this is an area where we mess up, where we struggle, but God, help us. Help us to be fishers of people. Help us to be fishers of men, as you have called us to do, as well as these disciples. They submitted to the Word of God and to Jesus, the great teacher. But they also had community. The disciples had community with Jesus. They broke bread with him. They walked with him. They followed him wherever he went. They saw him perform miracles. And guess what? Jesus taught them how to love people. He taught them how to have compassion on people. And they also were transparent. They were allowed to ask questions. Teacher, why are we doing things this way? Teacher, why do you say these things? They could ask questions. They were transparent. And Jesus has called us to disciple others today. Now, discipleship is very broad. And you may have seen it done different ways. How many of y'all remember discipleship training? Y'all remember that? Yeah. I remember that as well, and those are great things, great tools that we use to pour into other people. But like what's happening right now is discipleship. What happens in Sunday school is discipleship. Amen. And I'm thankful for those things. But discipleship also happens outside the church. Discipleship is what should happen in our homes. Discipleship is what should happen amongst our friends. Because just as these disciples did life with one another and did life with Jesus, we are called to do life with others. And in doing so, we teach them to how to follow Jesus. One writer says this about discipleship. He says, discipleship is helping other followers of Jesus follow Jesus. It's followers of Jesus helping others follow Jesus. But it manifests itself in more ways than just what happens right here. I once was serving at a church. My first church I ever served at, we were Baptist-costal. You know what Baptist-costal means? It means you're Baptist, but you get after it a little bit. That's what Baptist-costal means. When the music starts, They really got going. And sometimes we would have these services where during the song set, like the songs we just sang, people would come pray down at the altar. And it was great. It was awesome. People were being saved. People were bringing their needs before the Lord. And sometimes when that would happen, it was known that I was supposed to go to the piano or the guitar, and we would just sing songs. Like I would have a couple of songs, what we called in the hopper. I had a couple of songs in the hopper, meaning they were ready to be sang in case, you know, people started getting after it. And, you know, people were so pumped up about what was happening inside of our services. People would say, man, we had such a great service last week. Man, the Spirit was really moving. And I just felt led one Sunday to share something. It was one of those Sundays when the Spirit was really moving, you know, and people were praying at the altar, and our pastor was praying with people. And I had my guitar, and in between songs, I said, guys, there's still some people praying, and we're just going to keep singing, but I feel led to share this. We are called in the Great Commission to go make disciples. And guess what? We've got to take what we experience in here, what we learn in here, we've got to take it outside the church walls and go make disciples. We've been commanded to do so, so let's go make disciples. And what happened? Everybody in there ran out and said, yeah, let's go do it. No, they didn't. They looked at me like I was a ghost. And afterwards, I was told two things, which leads me to the misconceptions we have about discipleship. This man came up to me, and he said, you know, I really appreciate what you said today. He said, my son, he's around your age. Get him involved with some of that. And I said, yes, that's great, but brother, I'm talking about you as well. Because guess what? All followers of Jesus are called to make disciples. And our first misconception about discipleship is that, well, it's not for me, it's for somebody else. Or it's not for me, it's for those who are called to teach and preach. Because the other thing I heard today, that day, was somebody said to me, you know, discipleship is great and all, but isn't that what a pastor or a preacher is called to do? And yes, it is, but not just because I'm a preacher or because I'm a pastor, because I'm a follower of Jesus. And the call to follow Jesus is a call to make disciples. And so here's the misconception, that we think that it's just for those who have been called to teach. And this may be for two reasons. One may be because we feel like we're not qualified. And brother or sister, let me tell you, if you feel like you're not qualified, know this, that if you have been redeemed through Jesus Christ and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are qualified to make disciples. You have a story. You have a story about how God has redeemed you. It doesn't matter that you're not a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't matter that you're not called to a foreign country. It doesn't matter that you're not the one up here preaching. If you are a Christian, you are equipped to make disciples. These disciples that Jesus called here in Mark, they were not the high-ups of society. They weren't probably the most intelligent people. But guess what? They followed Jesus. And in Acts, when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit and they start the early church through the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? They did the same stuff. They did life with other people. They taught people how to follow Jesus. And see, the second misconception we have about discipleship is that we think that it's just teaching, that it's just what happens in here, that maybe it's just what happens in Sunday school. That is discipleship, don't get me wrong. Or we think that it's just living a good life and being a good witness. That is great too, but it's both of those things. Why? Because the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, after Jesus is resurrected, before he's about to be ascended, he tells them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you even till the end of the age. Discipleship is both telling and showing how to follow Jesus, helping other people know how to follow Jesus. This past week, we had a flat tire, and I was thinking to myself, you know, when I was younger, my parents, they not only told me how to change a flat tire, but they showed me how to change a flat tire. But could you imagine if you just tried to tell somebody how to change a flat tire, like you never showed them? You say, okay, take the jack, and you put it under a jack point or a place in the vehicle, that is safe, and you this is how you start turning the jack this way, and then you take a tire iron and you put it on the nuts, and you know, lefty loosey, righty tighty. Remember that part too. And it's like, you know, that's something that you need to show people how to do. Same way with playing guitar or playing instrument. When I teach people to play the guitar, most people need to see what you're doing with your fingers. Like, you can't just be like, okay, for a C major chord, take your ring finger, place it on the A string of the third fret, take your middle finger, place it on the D string of the second fret, and then your index finger, place it on the B string of the first fret. They'd be like, okay, I gotta see it. You know, Jesus didn't go up to these disciples and say, hey guys, behold, the Lamb of God has come, the kingdom of God is here, repent, go make fishers of men, and then just took off. They would have been like, how do we do that? Jesus showed them what it meant to be a follower of him. We're called to show others, but also called to teach them. Because in the Great Commission, he says to go baptize, but a lot of times we stop right there. And I get it. Numbers are great. We live in a numbers-driven society. But we can't be so much about the numbers that we forget to equip people. And part of that is on us as church leaders. And I'm so thankful for the Southern Baptist Convention and other groups that have pointed out, you know what, we've lacked in discipleship. Because when somebody gets saved, we celebrate that and we say, guess what, somebody was saved, we baptize them. But then we just say, you know what, you're on your own. And guys, we're not called to do that. We're not called to stay in our little silo and not be outward. And like I said, not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a Sunday school teacher, to go to a foreign country. But we're all called to do as the Great Commission says, to go make disciples of all nations. In Luke chapter 11, we see an example of this played out, where Jesus taught them but also showed them. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, so they saw him praying, and when he was finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And then what happened in verse 2? Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. And then he gave us what is known as the Lord's Prayer. It says, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our needs, our daily bread. Forgive us of those who have wronged us. Forgive us of all our wrongdoings. And so he showed them what a prayer looked like. And guys, we're called to do that as well. We are called to go show people, to show our kids, to show our grandkids what it looks like to follow Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, we see where the disciples now put into play what they have practiced for these couple of years under Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They're meeting the needs of people just as Jesus did. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The disciples walked with Jesus. They saw how Jesus loved others, how he met the needs of people, and they saw the gospel played out before them. And just as they saw it, just as they experienced it, they taught others to do the same. They broke bread with these new believers, with the early church, and these people devoted themselves as they devoted to Jesus, even though he's the great teacher, and the apostles are humans, this is you and I, sinful humans, but had been redeemed through Jesus. They taught them how to pray, how to share the gospel with others, how to study the scriptures in the Old Testament. And guys, we're called to do the same. As I mentioned before, it's not just for the preachers and teachers. It's not just being a good witness. Yes, that is part of it, but it's also not just the teaching part. It is followers of Jesus, helping others follow Jesus. And I do want to point out that what we show people by how we live is discipling them in some way. Because how misleading is it when we tell people with our mouths that Jesus is the most important thing to us more than anything else? But then when they look at our life, it appears, in fact, there's about four or five things that are more important than Jesus. And don't think that I'm just harping on you, because here's an example of in our lives how this happened. During our transition here, as we were moving from Hartsville, it was a busy time, but we had got out of habit with doing our Bible study as a family at night. And one night, right after we moved here, we'd been in our house a couple of nights, my youngest, before we were taking them to bed and praying with them and kissing them goodnight, my youngest, Carson, who was two at the time, he brought me his little Bible and handed it to me. And he said, "Hey, we need to read this." And man, like, what a punch in the gut that was. I was thankful that he knew about it and he knew that it was important, but I also was ashamed that he could recognize that we got out of habit. Now, guess what? It was an opportunity for us to repent to our kids and say, "Guys, we're sorry. We got out of habit of doing this, and thank you for bringing this to us." But it's a reminder that what we show people matters. How we live does matter. And it's both living out our faith, but also teaching them as well. And we're not called to keep to ourselves. That just doesn't exist. If we're followers of Jesus, we're called to make disciples. And that's it. We're called to do this. And you may not have the most eloquent speech, just as Moses did. We may have all the excuses in the world, but once again, if you are saved, you are qualified to make disciples. We're all qualified to make disciples. So if you feel that you're not qualified, please know that. But if it's just that we don't have a desire to do that, well, that's even more concerning, because we can look at this and say, you know what? We struggle in this area and we ask God to help us. But if we read this text and read the Great Commission and what we take away from it is, well, that's not for me, that's for other people, then I think we need to examine our hearts. Because God has not called us to stay in our little bubble, in our silos, and just say, you know what? I'm going to keep this to myself. That's not what any of us are called to do. All of us are called in some shape or form to disciple our kids, to disciple our grandkids, to disciple our coworkers, our friends. Brace yourselves. Here comes the fishing analogy. About 2.5 years ago, I started taking my son Tanner fishing. We went to the river a couple of times and had not caught anything yet. We had a couple of bites, but nothing. And so then we went to Boaz to visit my family. And while we were there, my pawpaw, who, as I call the great fisherman, said, "Hey, I know of a pond. Let's go to this pond and we'll fish, and we can take Tanner." I said, "Yes, that's great." And we got there, you know, the owner of the pond, you know how it is. They said, "Oh, there's bass in there this big." It went from this big to this big. And we start fishing, and we were there for an hour, and we haven't caught anything, nothing. And at this point, Tanner has his own rod over here, and my pawpaw's with him. And I have my rod. Well, I felt a tug on my line. I didn't say anything. I just set the hook and started reeling. Well, then all of a sudden, I hear my son start yelling, "I've got one, I've got one." Now, what do you think I did in that situation? Do you think I said, "Hold on, son, let me reel mine in first"? No, I threw down my rod and ran over there. I didn't care if it went into the pond or what. I wanted to be a part of this special moment with my son. And guess what? As followers of Jesus, although we have been redeemed and we're excited about what's been done in our lives, we're excited about what God has done in our midst, we're called to go help others to follow Jesus. That's what we're called to do. With joy, as I was joyful to go help Tanner reel in his own fish, we are fishers of people helping other people know how to be fishers of people. This is what we're called to do. And just as my granddad You know, I thought he had Jesus' powers when I was younger because he always knew where the fish were, you know? He would say, go over here, the fish are over there. And lo and behold, they were over there. And he would take us to where the fish are. Guys, Jesus showed the disciples where the fish were. Where were they? To the ends of the earth. They were in Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. God has shown us where the fish are. They're here. They're outside the church walls. They're in Muscle Shoals. They're in Tuscumbia. They're in Florence. They're in Alabama. They're in Africa. They're everywhere. And guess what, guys? Even though some of us are called to go to Africa or to Europe, and some of us are called to stay here, we're all called to be on mission for Him. God has shown us where the fish are. A fisherman doesn't wait at the shoreline for the fish to come to him. He goes and he gets the fish. We're called to go be fishers and catchers. And so the question this morning, it's not, are you making disciples? It's, what are you making disciples of? Because how we live, what we teach people around us by how we live, it's discipling them for something. Because see, even the world makes fishers of people. They're just using a different type of bait than we are. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would we want to keep that to ourselves? And guess what? These disciples had to be equipped. They had to know Jesus. He took them alongside them. They saw him feed people. They saw him heal people. Many of them saw him crucified. They were there when he was taken, and they saw him resurrected. And although we were not there on that day, if we are Christians, we have experienced that same power, and we have experienced that same love as the disciples did. So why are we not discipling others to follow Jesus? It's a question for me as well. Like, how am I discipling my kids? What do they see is important in my life? Am I making fishers of people? Am I fishing for people and helping them be fishers of people? That's the question this morning. Also, if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, the call is to follow Jesus, to repent and believe the gospel, to understand that we are all sinners separated from a holy God because of our sin, but that God sent Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. I want to leave you with this before we close. Before I read this, know that evangelism is part of discipleship, and it's important. But it's not just teaching. It's not just with our words. It's how we live. It's doing life with people and showing them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What we do right now, what we do in our Sunday schools, what we do in every aspect of life is discipleship. But we're all about baptism numbers, all about salvation numbers. But if we want to play the numbers game, let me read this to you. Let's say there's one person great at sharing their faith. They're just gifted with that, right? And they share the gospel and they see one person saved per day. They share their faith with somebody every day, and let's just say, by God's will, they are saved every day. Someone is saved every day for 32 years. That means after 2 years, 11,000, after 32 years, 11,680 people are saved in 32 years. That's every day for 32 years. Now, let's say we disciple somebody, but we don't disciple somebody every day. We disciple somebody once a year. We take somebody and we pour into them and we disciple them once a year. And then the next year we disciple somebody else, and the person we discipled, they disciple somebody else. I'm not good at math, so trust me, I'm reading this. It blows my mind. After year three, there are 8 disciples. After year four, there are 16 disciples. And at the end of 32 years, guess how many people have been reached? 4 billion people have been reached. This is God's plan for evangelism. In some instances, we only have time to share the gospel. We may not ever see them again. But while we're here, we have families. We have our coworkers. We have people that we can disciple and pour into. And as our band comes up, I have this to share. I have a cousin who lived a lifestyle of drug addiction, but then was saved. And he repented and believed in Jesus Christ. And he's been a worship leader now for a couple of decades. Well, then I had another cousin who was in the same side of the family. And he, in recent years, has battled drug addiction. But he got saved about a year ago. And it's been amazing to see his transformation. Well, guess who's been discipling him and been helping him see what it looks like to follow Jesus, been holding him accountable? The first one I mentioned. Because what a great opportunity it is for him to pour into this man, to help him be a follower of Jesus. Guys, we're all called to be fishers of people. We're all called to disciple because the call to follow Jesus is a call to discipleship. And I believe we can all look at our own lives and see how we can do that better. Let's pray. Father, I first of all ask you to forgive me at the times when I have failed to pour into those around me. There's been so many opportunities I've missed. God, forgive us as a church, as a people, when we have missed these opportunities. But Father, give us a boldness to proclaim your word. Help us see that as you called these fishermen, you are calling us to make disciples today in the same way. God, we ask that your help be with us, as we know it is. Through your Holy Spirit, Father, help us to grow to be more like you, and help us point others to Jesus, not because we know everything about the Bible, not because we're the best at speaking, but because we've been redeemed through you. And Father, I pray for the ones here who are lost, the ones who do not have a relationship with Jesus. God, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray they would repent and believe in you. Father, I ask now that you help us as we respond to your word with obedience. In his name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.